this is Jo Tomlin. I'm at the San Francisco Fringe. I'm talking with a performer who's going to be doing a show on stage in 1 hour. Please introduce yourself.
My name's Evelyn Jean Pine, and I'm the playwright and performer of The Mermaid's Tears. And it's a heartwarming story about money, art, porn, and emotion.
And what was this inspired by?
It was inspired by a line from the original story of The Little Mermaid that because the mermaid has no tears, she suffers most of all. So I was interested in the idea of someone who was not a psychopath, but who really had no emotion or couldn't feel what that was like. But what it evolved into, because I really developed it with the great director and performer and writer Charlie Varon, it evolved into a study of a woman who loses everything and then becomes a millionaire, basically, because she understands that women become sexually excited when they see men crying.
And is this your first one-person show?
It's not my first one-person show, but it's my first non-autobiographical one-woman show. So it's delightful to me for that, and it's also a little intimidating.
Have you performed it anywhere before this Fringe?
I've performed parts of it at the Marsh in the Mission District, and also at Stageworks, another wonderful venue, Solo Sundays, at Stageworks. But this is the first time I'm doing the whole damn thing, if you'll excuse the expression.
And what is the style of the performance?
It's very conversational and laid back. It's really her telling the story. She's recounting her life and events. Yeah.
And do you use any props or lighting or sound effects?
Well, the brilliant Beth Cockrell here has done the lighting design, and it's just fabulous. But no props. It's just me and the audience. The audience is my prop, and they're always brilliant, I've noticed. So
now that this show is a little, it's not autobiographical like your previous shows, is there a difference in how you develop it?
Well, absolutely. I think that I'm a playwright, so it's much more like plays I've written, because I tend not to write from my life. I tend to write about things I'm interested in but don't know that much about. But one of the pleasures has been taking that risk. And still, even as a performer, too, I have a little bit of a performing without a net feeling, because then I could always turn to my life, whereas now I have to turn to this imagined world. And it's just, it's a lovely but daunting, in some ways, challenge.
So do you write it first and then get it up on its feet, or do you improvise and then write ideas?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because it's a little bit of both. I began just by standing up and improvising, and then there were parts that I felt I definitely had to write, and then got those on the feet. But I've really tried to keep it performative at all times, so I'm either doing a reading of it or a performance of it or something as I'm writing it. And it's been a tremendous pleasure.
When you're improvising on your feet, as you say, is there anyone watching you, or are you videotaping it?
I videotaped it once. I've been in a workshop with Charlie Varon a number of times, and him and the other students have been profoundly helpful, including Paul Schiffman, who's a fantastic performer, and Kenny Yun, who's also a brilliant guy. And the two of them particularly have been really helpful to me.
Do you have any advice for anyone who's starting out to write their own show, whether it's based on their own experience or, in this case, it's not? What would you tell someone starting out?
It's absolutely crucial that you write that story. Whatever it is that you're carrying around, whether it's autobiographical or it's just a piece of an idea, it's so important. And you can do it with pen and paper. You can do it standing up with a recorder. We now have this glorious technology. I'm 65, so I remember when all this was much more challenging technologically. But if you have the desire, you really must do it. And you need to find the time, and you need to find the allies, and you need to leap in. And it's so crucial. It's so important right now in this historical moment that everyone is willing to tell their story, fiction or nonfiction, because there are a lot of people who want to tell only certain stories, and we have to not let that happen. So tell it. Whoever's listening, tell that story. Whatever's in your heart and mind, go for it.
I'm interested because you just mentioned allies. Who do you consider allies, or how would someone find allies?
One of the things that I did as a playwright was I had gone, participated in the San Francisco Olympians Festival, and in San Francisco we have the feminist salon. And there was a woman there, Katia Rivera, who whenever I would see her, I would think, oh, I wish she was my friend. And she's also a director, and I'd see the plays she directed, and I'd think, oh, I wish she'd direct something of mine. So I took a risk, and I asked her to read something that I wrote, and I figured, and to see if she might direct it, and she didn't want to, which was a little weird. But I thought I wanted her to be my friend. So I said, well, that's okay. Let's just get together and talk. And we started talking and ended up writing a play together about women and invisibility, how sometimes being invisible is a terrible thing and sometimes it's a superpower. And so I really suggest that if you have people around who you're drawn towards, to just take them out for coffee. And it may not unfold in the linear way you want it to, but it's very, very important. So that's one thing. The other thing is to approach independent theaters to see what they have to offer. I've been in this solo performance workshop. Charlie Varon's a performer and writer who I admire so much. His students are fabulous, so find people like that, but write that thing.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much.